Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, Julia Fellow, and in for John McCure, it's Eric Bilstad.
Here we are putting the story together, a developing story in Milwaukee. Police have now just given an all clear. There were guns drawn at downtown campus Milwaukee Area Technical College. That's our big story of the day.
This is the three at three on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
And that's number one. Our WTMJ's Elizabeth Lintonen is there right now. Elizabeth, what did you see?
Hi, Julia. I walked up and I was talking to students who seemed very panicked. There were alarms blaring. There were instructions blaring on how to shelter in place within the school. And then as I was standing there, I saw multiple MPD officers walk in with their large rifles drawn, and more kept going into the school as we were standing there. In total, I probably saw about six police cars. I saw canine units. It was a very dramatic scene.
Do we know why this was called, all of this?
I've heard from chatter among students and police that it was a suspicious person on the third floor of the building. They seem to be clearing the building floor by floor as students trickled out from each floor and each section of the school. But they have not released an official statement at this time.
WTMJ's Elizabeth Linton, and thank you so much.
Anytime.
Again, an all clear was given. It started just after 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So this is developing news. Number two, the River West neighborhood saw flash grenades, federal agents, canines, WISN getting it all. This was with an FBI search warrant. They even got an interview with a guy that the FBI interrogated for more than 6 hours, 35-year-old Ryan Porter. He admitted this to a reporter with WISN on television.
So you don't know of any drug selling?
Yeah, so we.
That's it.
Yeah, so a little cocaine.
But says he isn't who the FBI is really after.
So you're innocent then, basically.
I mean, more or less, like I'm small potatoes.
Small potatoes, Eric. He's just selling cocaine.
Mm.
Wow. The FBI Milwaukee office says the multi-year investigation targeted street gangs operating in Racine and Milwaukee with ties to what agents call an international cartel. The investigation has led to the seizure of cocaine.
Yep,
I'm just saying it like how he says it.
Fentanyl,
marijuana, methamphetamines, 23 firearms in all seriousness, and 3 cars have been confiscated. The FBI says that all 22 suspects, including Porter, was one of those arrested, may face federal charges.
Number three. So we've been talking all week about the Packers and Steelers playing on Sunday night under the lights on NBC. And of course, Aaron Rodgers plays for the Steelers. But Aaron Rodgers is going to be wearing a yellow helmet. What do I mean by that?
Packers.
Well, no, not for the Packers. So the Steelers are going to go back to their 1933 look. It's like a throwback uniform, which includes a lot of yellow. It also includes a yellow helmet with like the Steelers logo on it. So because of that, just this week now, the Packers are saying, hey, we're going to wear our all-white unis because we don't really want to clash and be confused by all the yellow on the field. So we've seen the Packers wear these before. They wore them earlier this year. They wore them last year a couple of times. It's just all white. So they got the white helmets, white shirt, and all that. But they're doing so just because the Steelers are too yellow. I was kind of hoping they'd both be wearing the yellow just to see how ugly that would look on TV. But now the Packers are saving the day.
That's very good. And we have ESPN's Alex Stroff joining us for our Green and Gold Insiders. We have that everyday Green and Gold Insiders at 4:15. We'll talk about that and more. Coming up next, Debbie gets you home safe, and also lots of AI to talk about. At 3:15, we talk about the political aspects. My goodness, some really annoying aspects. You don't like those political ads? Just wait. And then at 3:20, how automated cars, what could your driving experience look like, let's say, in 2 years? That's coming up. Movies are the best. How about watching them as you drive?
That sounds
GM,
like a terrible idea.
General Motors, terrible idea. Well, if you text WATCH, 855-616-1620, WATCH to our Setting Unlimited Talk and Text line, 855-616-1620, you can take a look at what General Motors promises to introduce, Eyes Off Driving. That's what they're calling it. In 2 years, executives made the announcement yesterday. It's going to be in the Cadillac Escalade. People are going to want that screen to be a little bit bigger.
Right. Yeah, the screen is too small. It's so pleasant. There's a woman sitting there with her hands on her lap, not on the wheel. She's in the, and she's watching a movie. Which
there's
is
a deer
on...
right... No, I'm just kidding.
She's just enjoying a movie that's on the dashboard there.
What if you fog out the front windows? You know, the front windshield, and then have it playing off there? No,
ooh,
we don't...
see, maybe that'll be next generation.
We don't want that. Imagine when it doesn't work, though. Yeah, I had to drive today.
The thing is that, like, this type of driving and automated driving has been talked about for years, right? And we've seen it. There's also, you got the driverless cabs now in more and more cities all the time. San Francisco's got them, Phoenix, mm-hmm. in different places. But this is what they are making these data centers for. Remember the story from yesterday? So we had Dale Koenga in studio from MMAC talking about the data centers that they're cranking out here along the shoreline. The one in Port Washington is going to have Oracle involved, and this is part of what they're going to be using that data center for.
This is the type of supercomputers that are going to make driverless cars a possibility and very safe.
Yeah, that's a lot of that's what's happening out of these data centers. Automated cars, personalized medicine, not like just ChatGPT stuff. And even Craig Karmason. So Craig Karmason, the CEO of Good Karma Brands, he was on Wisconsin's Morning News the other day. We talked about this. You know, he talked a lot about the Packers and that the radio rights of the Packers, which was fascinating. But he also talked about how automated cars are going to change how we all consume our media.
I think, you know, there's going to be more autonomous vehicles, you know, which means that more people will be able to watch the stream of this show rather than listen to the stream or listen on the radio. I think how we consume media is going to continue to change.
And what's so fascinating about that, Julia, is that we've talked about like driverless cars for a while now.
Yeah.
But this is, we're at that point now with the information we have, with the AI usage that we can do, where this is going to ramp up very quickly.
Wow.
Enough where, like the picture you have up on the live stream, you just see women just sitting there with their hands on their laps, kids just doing whatever as they all just watch a movie while on the road.
We're definitely going to have to change the legality of all of this on the books because that is definitely distracted driving. But who's really driving, you know?
Go ahead.
Yeah, conversational AI will be introduced next year in GM vehicles. So you can just have a conversation with AI. Oh, also coming up at 4:36, there's a famous actress who just died, and her widower is made an AI of her. And he had a conversation with her 30 years ago, if you want to figure out who she is, about this, with the person that actually invented this. But 30 years later, she... apparently, beyond the grave, she gave the okay. And so that'd be super interesting.
So that's fascinating because the idea there is a widower utilizing AI in a way to continue to heal/communicate with a lost loved one. There's different versions of that where I can understand where that might sound a little funny.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there are ways where that could actually be useful for you as you continue to move forward. It could even be therapeutic.
I think so, too, especially if it was you or I. We don't want to die at all. But
sure. If
we were to talk to our loved one beyond the grave, there's, well, you, thousands of hours. There's a lot of hours of mine.
It'd be easy to find that footprint, that digital footprint, to get our voice and be able to utilize the personality.
Yeah, wouldn't that be interesting? Yeah.
So how do you do that for a lost loved one who maybe not? Who doesn't have all of that footprint? That's curious, but it is going to be something you see more and more of in the coming years.
Yeah, I'll talk about more of my opinion on that
I'm curious.
If I would do that, because I lost my mom when I was 11 years old.
See, that's fat. I would love to ask you about
and
that.
And boy, would I like to have had conversations with her.
Right.
Actual conversations with her. But would that have helped me? We'll talk about that.
It's been the talk of Madison right now. What to do with the Department of Public Instruction and the state superintendents.
If there is not going to be reform...
Oh, we lost him there. That was Congressman Tom Tiffany speaking earlier this hour. Play one more time for you.
If there is not going to be reform that fixes these problems, then I think it's time for the governor to call on Jill Underly to either do her job or step aside.
Him calling for the state superintendent to step down this hour. The Washington County executive, who's also running for governor, Josh Shulman, has done the same, calling for her to step down.
Just got reelected.
This is true. So here's the deal. An update to the story we've been following here on WTMJ. It's the investigation into and the backlash regarding the State Department of Instruction and the department's investigation into teacher misconduct. So the Cap Times did the story originally. Cap Times found that at least 44% of the more than 450 investigations they've had over the last few years have involved sexual misconduct or grooming allegations of a teacher. Now, the paper made requests to the schools trying to get more information, and in many of those cases, they were asked to pay like hundreds of thousands of dollars to get that information.
What?
Which is, it's state law, by the way, that you can provide. It's open records requests that need to be made. Every school is different. Some of it didn't have the information that they were requesting. Others were just taking too long. So there's a lot of questions here. Meanwhile, the department run by the state superintendent, Jill Underley, relies on what appears to be a rudimentary system to track its investigations, which is obscuring the scale of misconduct for policymakers and the public. So they're trying to figure out exactly how this goes. Meanwhile, again, licensing officials are allowing educators under investigation to forfeit their credentials in exchange for avoiding in-depth probes. What does that mean? It means if the state is investigating you, Julia, a teacher, for doing something wrong, and you say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to surrender my teacher's license, then the state would stop its investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's being accused of being a loophole, meaning you're going to get out of getting in trouble because you're just going to get rid of your license. Jill Underley today in a video statement.
When an educator voluntarily surrenders their license, that is not a loophole. It is a serious, permanent action. Their name is entered into a national database and is shared among all state education agencies, flagging them for educator licensing agencies across the country. That protects kids.
Okay, that was my question. That's pretty good. I thought that, okay, you get rid of my license, I'll just go to, like, I'll go to Illinois.
Yeah, no, see, according to this, you can. However, according to the Cap Times, there's been at least 8 teachers since 2018 who have been allowed to surrender their license and then maintain their ability to reapply for a job. So there are some questions there. So there's been a lot of asking for more content and more answers from Underley, and she has not been doing so. She released the statement in video form, but where is she?
It's my understanding from her representatives that she's attending a Distinguished Alumni Award event today at her alma mater in Indiana, rather than fulfilling her duty to the people of Wisconsin.
So that is State Representative Amanda Nedweski. Today, she is the co-chair of the Committee on Government Operations, Accountability, and Transparency. They held a meeting on this matter today, but she wasn't there because she had this conflict where she's being honored at her alma mater.
Well, that's okay. There's nothing called Zoom or anything like that.
Well, also, the co-chair said we could have rescheduled.
I will note that Dr. Underley did not even call me. She did not send an email. She did not reach out in any way saying this date did not work for her. We would have gladly accommodated an alternative date for the state superintendent of public instruction to be here in front of this committee.
So there are a lot of questions. There are questions about, okay, why is it so difficult and in some cases impossible to get the information from school districts that are also taking part in some of these investigations? Why are some folks being surrendering their license but then still being able to apply? At least there's 8 cases where that did happen. And should there be other more specific definitions for grooming or what some of these predatorial aspects are? Because remember, not every case that you hear about, or at least every case that's been numbered here, necessarily means the teacher did anything wrong. So we should also point out, too, that the DPI isn't a prosecution agency. That's mm-hmm. that's what cops are for. That's what police mm-hmm. are for. That's what DAs are
but
for.
But they're the extra eyes.
Yeah, they could be some extra eyes. Now, I thought this was interesting. I wanted to play this for you. So this is Tom McCarthy. So he's the deputy state superintendent. He spoke on Underley's behalf today. So he got to go under the spotlight and get yelled at.
I hate to be in his seat.
Oh, God. It got pretty bad at some times. But he did specifically identify the need to clarify what the actual term grooming means. Listen to his example.
We see cases where it is a clear boundary violation. Should not be texting that kid at that hour of the night, but they're texting that kid at that hour of the night about making sure they get to school. Is that grooming? Is that a standard that would trip grooming?
I don't know. Double check, whatever. I don't care. It's about protecting our kids.
Right. But listen, because that's what she says. The co-chair says exactly basically what you just said. Listen.
Oh.
Does it fit the definition of immoral conduct?
I don't know. I mean, I think texting a child at night to make sure they have a ride to school on their like an SMS text to text, is that grooming?
That would have to, I mean, that's your determination of whether or not that fits the standard under 115.31.
That is the challenge.
And that's his point, is that that's really difficult. And the point he was trying to make is that, like, it's very gray. There are so many different shades of gray that you're asking the DPI to investigate and look into. It's really, there's,
if you're
not
messaging the kid, message them through the right channels.
Like the SMS text,
like,
or whatever.
You know, you can do it on the tablet and stuff. You can talk to the kid on that.
So is that grooming, though? See, again, like, this is where, like, the DPI will say, well, we're not going to, it's judgment calls versus speculation versus fact. And you're asking the DPI to do this when there's also police departments and DAs. So we're going to get into this a little bit more next hour on Wisconsin's Afternoon News. Lots going on there. The one thing that would be helpful, if the state superintendent were actually in the state answering some of the questions.
Yeah, and there's also very powerful teachers' unions in our state. 343 on WTMJ.
And look, let's not, you know, mince words. This is the insider trading saga for the NBA. That's what this is.
That's FBI Director Kash Patel talking about a lot of defendants' insider sports betting controversy. It took confidential information about NBA athletes and teams, and also there's a mafia-backed poker scheme they talked about as well. At least three defendants are tied to both. We have Brad Garrett, ABC News crime and terrorism analyst. Brad, what stands out the most to you?
I think the length of time this has gone on before people were actually charged, that organized crime, although it shouldn't surprise me, is involved in this in some form or fashion. And even the FBI director actually, you know, mentioned Bonanno, Gambino, and Genovese. These are all, you know, sort of household names as far as organized crime is concerned, you know, have a hand in this and get a cut of it. I mean, you know, one example is, you know, Chauncey Billups. I think they even have him in one of these rigged poker games back as far as 2019. That's what, 6 years ago. So who knows how many games have, you know, occurred between then and now. But, you know, this is also one of those type of scams, whether it's what we're talking about right now or the other, which is basically having information so you can bet accordingly to win, you're going to get caught if you keep doing this kind of stuff. And obviously, that's what happened. You're talking about 30-plus people. My guess is that number will get a lot bigger.
We have Terry Rozier as well, accused of faking an injury while playing for the Hornets in 2023. Here's how this one worked out. It's about 30 seconds long. You're going to hear from the NYPD Commissioner Jessica Tisch.
But others close to him know that he planned to leave the game early with a supposed injury. Using that information, members of the group placed more than $200,000 in wagers on his under statistics. Rozier exited the game after just 9 minutes, and those bets paid out, generating tens of thousands of dollars in profit. The proceeds were later delivered to his home, where the group counted their cash.
Yikes. It sounds very elaborate. And also, there's a former Bucks player and former NBA coach, Damon Jones, accused of selling information about LeBron James. I mean, what Kash Patel is saying, that this goes into, you know, the heart of the NBA. I mean, how much is this putting a stain on the basketball organizations?
Well, you would think a big one. I mean, you're really talking about like what they call automatic shuffling machines that can actually read the cards that they're shuffling and then deal out the hands the way they wanted them dealt. And through wireless communication with the known players at the table, they could tell them who had a good hand and who had a bad hand. And they apparently would let the invitees, you know, that didn't know obviously what's going on, to win occasionally. But then as the money grew, they started winning, they being the players. And, you know, this, according to the indictment, you know, this went on in, you know, in Manhattan, Miami, Las Vegas, a number of other places where they would fly people in or they would fly themselves in, meet these well-known basketball players, current and former, including coaches, and play poker with them.
Brad, I guess in I'm just not surprised, really, that like something like this could eventually happen, especially with the gambling aspect of it. Given all of this online betting we have now, the prop bets, all of the different ways you can bet, how you can bet, how much money you can make on these bets, the apps that are super easy. It was only a matter of time, really, right, where all you need is one or two bad actors to figure out a way to kind of get around that and make an extra buck out of it.
Right, and you wonder how many other players are doing some version of this. This is just, you know, this could have, you know, I think some pretty long tentacles attached to it.
You know, there's other ways that they're accused of cheating with this underground poker scheme. It involves those shuffling deck machines, reads the cards, knows which person likely had the best hand. They did hand signals. And then there's X-ray machines that were used. Can you talk about how that worked?
So apparently if you had specialized glasses and and you had to be on a particular type of table, that they can actually read through the cards. So in other words, if you have the ace of spades and it's face down, on this table with the right kind of glasses, you can see that it's an ace of spades. And so that's another, you know, obviously, if you can see through the cards, you know what somebody's hand is. So, you know, that combined with this automatic shuffling and the, you know, these automatic shufflers, they had altered the shuffler some way so it would actually read the cards. And then they would use wireless and hand signals to each other. That's obviously the players that are involved in this as to what to do or not to do, you know, pass, raise, whatever it might be. But they're talking about tens of, you know, in the millions of dollars over a number of years in this scam.
Here's Commissioner Tisch as well with other ways that it was done.
Barcoded decks and hidden cameras built into tables and light fixtures. The organizers also enlisted well-known public figures, former and current NBA players and coaches, including Chauncey Billups, the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, an NBA champion and a Hall of Famer, to make the games appear legitimate. Victims believe that they were sitting at a fair table. Instead, they were cheated out of millions. One victim in particular lost $1.8 million. In total, losses exceeded $7 million and continue to climb.
With those X-ray machines, could you imagine the amount of radiation you get if your lap was underneath that?
Okay.
My goodness.
So, Brad, is there a way to... will they now lean on some of these guys? Like, will they put pressure on a couple of them, and will that spring this to a much larger situation?
Yeah, that's typically how this works. Now, my guess is that they already know about some other people. Maybe they don't feel like they have enough to charge them yet. But, yeah, the idea that, you know, if you step up to one of these well-known coaches or players, current or former, and you say, this is what you're facing. These are the felonies you've been charged with, and you could get X number of years in jail. You know, do you want to help us or you do not want to help us? Because, you know, the regular phrase that we would use in interviewing people is, do you want to get on the bus or do you want somebody else to get on the bus and tell us what's going on? And then you're not relevant anymore as far as helping yourself. So we'll see. But, yes, some of that clearly will happen.
ABC News crime and tourist agent, analyst, excuse me, I just promoted you. You're now an agent.
What?
Brad Garrett, thank you.
You're welcome. See ya.
I appreciate it.